Good morning, church. Go ahead and open to Matthew 7. So we're coming to an end in our Sermon on the Mount series, Living the Heart of God. And last week we saw Jesus kind of begin his invitation, if you will, his call to action. He has spent 2.5 chapters going through and describing what it means to be righteous, what it means to live the heart of God, what it means to live a life of righteousness. And he comes to the end of his teaching on righteousness in the kingdom of God, and he begins to speak of the narrow gate and the broad gate. And he begins to explain the differences between the two, and at the heart of what he's saying in that passage is you must make a choice. You must make a choice between the narrow gate and the broad gate. There are many, many different things, many different ways, many different places that you can go on the broad way, but they all lead inevitably to destruction. Because the way of righteousness, the way of Christ, the way of the Father, the way of salvation is very, very narrow. Because there is only one correct way. It is through the person of Jesus. And after giving this invitation, this call to action to his audience, Jesus then follows this up by giving a warning to what could potentially keep someone from pursuing and following after the narrow way. And it is the danger of false prophets or false teachers. Depending on your translation, it may say false prophet, it may say false teacher. It's the same thing. The word prophet literally means to proclaim God's word. And so Jesus gives this dire warning. If you would choose the narrow way, then choose it, follow it, pursue it, but beware. Beware, because there will be traps and there will be those who would try to steer you away from the narrow way of Christ. Because that is the ultimate goal of a false teacher. The ultimate goal of a false prophet, the ultimate goal of any false teacher is to lead people down the broad path that leads to destruction. That is the ultimate goal. Whether they would come out and say that or not is debatable, but that is the ultimate goal of what they're doing. Because they're not pointing to the narrow way, they're not pointing to Jesus, they're pointing to something completely different. And Jesus gives us warning, but he also tells us how to identify these false teachers, these false prophets. So look with me at Matthew 7, verse 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." So before getting into his teaching, his discussion on how can we identify, how can we recognize false prophets, how can we recognize false teachers, before getting into that, he begins with a warning. And the warning is this: be on guard. The word, he begins it by saying, beware. Beware of false teachers. Beware of false prophets. The word beware always connotes danger. And we know this. I mean, we see that even today. If you were to go somewhere and you see a sign that says, beware, are you thinking, oh, this must be nice? They're probably giving away ice cream cones or something. No, you're not thinking. You know, okay, there is danger somewhere around here, so I got to beware. I need to be on guard. I need to be protecting myself, guarding myself against whatever it is that is around here. Mostly, it's a dog, and it's a chihuahua. Don't fear the Doberman. Fear the chihuahua. We all know it's true. He got off the tacos at Taco Bell, and he's just run amok. He's a terrible, terrible, terrible animal, the chihuahua. And if you have a chihuahua, I don't apologize. I stand by what I say. Those things are evil. And people are laughing because they all know it's true. Beware. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false teachers. And the reason Jesus is saying this, the reason he's calling us to be on guard, is because it's an inevitability that you will, as a follower of Christ, eventually come into contact with a false teacher, a false prophet. It is inevitable. It will happen. I promise, if you have been following Christ for any length of time, even if you haven't been following Christ for a very long length of time, you have most likely come into contact with a false prophet, somebody who proclaims something that is not true about the Lord, about his word, about what it means to be a follower of Christ. The question is, do we recognize it when it happens? Because it's dangerous. You see, false teachers, false prophets, what Jesus is talking about here, this is not a new revelation for his audience. The Jewish people, this was not something that they had never heard of before. This was not something that they were completely unfamiliar with. There were plenty of false prophets and plenty of false teachers in the Old Testament. They're very well aware of what Jesus is referring to here. And when we come to what it means to be a true prophet of the Lord, or a true teacher of the Lord and his word, versus what it means to be a false teacher of the Lord, there are two things. Since God's redemptive work for mankind has begun, there are two things that demonstrate someone who is a true teacher of the Lord. Number one is that they are called by God. If you are a true prophet or a true teacher of the Lord, then you are called by the Lord. You are equipped by the Lord to do that work. And number two, you are given his message to proclaim, and that message alone. Those are the two things. Going all the way back to the very beginning of God's redemptive work in mankind, those are the two things that separate a true teacher of the Lord from a false teacher of the Lord. Now, here's where it gets dangerous, and here's why Jesus is saying you must beware of false prophets, because that is true of a real teacher of the Lord. They are called by the Lord, and they are given his message to proclaim and no other message. But a false teacher will say the same thing. A false teacher will declare the exact same thing. They will say, yeah, I'm called of God as well. Yes, I have God's message as well. Which is why Jesus refers to them as what? He says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are what? Ravenous wolves. A wolf was the most common predator to sheep in Palestine. Being a shepherd, shepherding, that was actually a very common vocation. There were a lot of shepherds. There were a lot of people working in agriculture, that sort of thing. So, obviously, a shepherd had to be on guard, had to be watching his flock at all times, making sure there is nothing that's coming to harm or to destroy his flock. And what wolves would do, and we all know a wolf, we know wolves as being ferocious. We know them as being malicious when it comes to hunting their food. And a sheep was easy, easy pickings for a wolf. To this day, we know this. We know that if you were to put a sheep up against a wolf, who's winning that fight? It's not the sheep, and it will never be the sheep, because sheep are stupid. And they are weak, And yeah, that's kind of funny to say, but it's the truth. Sheep are stupid and sheep are weak. That's why we are called sheep and Jesus is the shepherd, because we are stupid and we are weak. But a shepherd had to be watching, because what a wolf would do, what wolves would do, what they still do, the way that they hunt is they wait for the weak one in the pack. They wait for something to get hurt, to get sick, to fall behind, and to fall away from the protection of the shepherd and the pack. And then they pounce. But you see, the word ravenous in this verse, because Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are what? Ravenous wolves. You see, the word ravenous, it actually has a secondary meaning. It has a secondary meaning of swindling. Meaning, a person who is ravenous when it comes to tricking someone or stealing from someone their possessions or their money. They're ravenous in trying to take from somebody that which is not theirs. And what Jesus is actually doing here is he's kind of showing, and he's showing through this illustration, he's showing that the danger that a wolf has for a sheep is the exact same danger that a false prophet has towards God's people. The danger is the same. The danger is equal, because false prophets, like wolves, they look for somebody who is not plugged in to a strong church. They look for somebody who does not have a strong, vibrant relationship with the Lord. They look for somebody that it is easy to manipulate, that it is easy to trick, that it is easy to convince that what they're saying and what they're teaching is actually right. The danger is the exact same. And Jesus is talking about a very specific type of false prophet, very specific type of false teacher. If you go through the scripture and you do a study on false teaching through the scripture, you'll find that there are three different types of false prophets mentioned in scripture. The first one is the heretic. And most of us probably are aware of what a heretic is. The heretic is the person who is very blatant, very blasé at the fact that they do not like God. They do not like his word. They do not like anything at all to do with righteousness. So anything that they teach and anything that they promote is going to be contrary to what God's word and what God's law says. That is the heretic. They're normally pretty easy to recognize. The second type of false teacher is the apostate. If you're unfamiliar with that word, an apostate is someone who begins their teaching, begins their role as a teacher following the narrow path. They begin it as someone who is actually teaching the right thing, is teaching the good thing. But eventually they fall away from this because they were never actually followers of Christ to begin with, I would say. Because they were never actually followers of Christ to begin with, they eventually fall away from this teaching that they were doing, and they instead begin to do exactly what the heretic does. They begin to teach things that are contrary, directly contrary to God and to his word. Much like the heretic, the apostate is normally pretty easy to recognize because they're fairly open in what it is that they're saying and what it is that they're doing. But the one that Jesus is talking about here is the third type. And the third type is the most dangerous, because that's the deceiver. See, the deceiver does not actually come out and openly teach things that are heretical. In fact, the deceiver will do everything that they can to make themselves appear to be orthodox, to appear to be evangelical, to appear to be following after the Lord, because they'll speak highly. They will speak highly and kindly of the Lord. They'll speak highly of Christ. They'll speak highly of the scripture. They'll speak highly of the cross. They'll speak highly of the Holy Spirit. They'll say all of those things are good. But in reality, inwardly, they are working to deceive and to manipulate all those that they teach. And that is why they are so dangerous. And that is why Jesus calls them ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. And it's an interesting illustration that Jesus pulls out here. He's calling them wolves in sheep's clothing. Because if you read it, if you're just kind of looking at it, it kind of sounds like the way that they trick people is it's a wolf wearing the clothing of a sheep. Like it's a wolf dressing up in a sheep costume and trying to like pass itself off as a sheep. And you think, well, that's just kind of weird. Like, wouldn't that sounds like something that Coyote's trying to do to Roadrunner? Like, it's an obvious ploy. Like, clearly, that's just not going to work. But that's actually not really what Jesus is saying here. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, the prophets of God were actually, for the most part, generally speaking, the prophets of God were easy to recognize. And the reason that the prophets of God were easy to recognize is because they typically all wore the same thing. They would wear very coarse material as their clothing. And the reason that they would do this is to show they were eschewing the comforts of life in order to pursue the calling of God. So they would wear very particular types of clothing. John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Covenant. And you'll see, if you go to the description of John the Baptist in the Gospels, you'll find that John the Baptist wore a camel's coat, which would have been a very uncomfortable coat, to say the least. And he ate locusts and wild honey. Personally, not something I really want to do with my life. That's why God brought me about now, so I don't have to do that. And I can just wear my same 5 shirts every week. As you guys no doubt have noticed, those of you that have never said anything to me, thank you, that was very kind of you. Those that did, shame on you for only looking at the shirt that I'm wearing. That's just shame on you. But you see, in order for a false teacher or a false prophet to kind of infiltrate God's work, what they would do in the times of the Old Testament was they would simply wear the same clothing as a prophet. If they were wearing the clothing of a prophet, then people would immediately just assume you're of God. You're from the Lord. You're going to tell us a message from God. You're going to proclaim to us God's word. And they would look to them for that because they appeared on the outside to be a prophet of the Lord. Now you come to the time of the New Testament, you look at a shepherd. Shepherds typically wore wool clothing. They wore wool clothing because they took care of sheep. So they would make their clothing from the sheep that they took care of. What Jesus is actually saying here is not that a wolf is going to try and infiltrate the sheep by looking like a sheep, but instead, they're going to wear the clothing of a shepherd. They're going to wear the clothing of a shepherd. They're going to make themselves look on the outside like they are truly a minister, a pastor, a teacher of God's word, when the reality is completely different. They're not actually called of God. And no matter how much they dress themselves up on the outside to look that way, inwardly, eventually, it will come out that they are false. And how does this happen? Well, that is, Jesus gives us tells us, be on guard, beware, because this is going to happen, this will happen, this happens all the time, this actually happens a whole lot more than we would care to admit or would really want to think about. This happens frequently. There are plenty of teachers and there are plenty of teachings out there that are false, but clothe themselves up in the identity of something that could potentially be true. That's how you end up with cults, and that's how you end up with offshoots of Christianity, such as Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, Jehovah's Witnesses. All of those are false teachings. They are false teachings because they completely change the gospel of Christ. And Paul himself said, if anybody changes or preaches to you another gospel, let them be accursed. So we have to be on guard. We have to be prepared for false teaching. Now, how do we recognize that false teaching? How are we supposed to recognize it when it comes? Jesus says, you will recognize, verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, you find what's known as the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are fruits of the Spirit. Typically, when you're reading the scripture, whenever Jesus or Paul or there's a teaching on fruit, typically fruit is a reference to character. And that is certainly partially, at least, what Jesus has in mind here. The idea of the character of the individual will eventually rise to the surface, and it will be known, and it will be seen, and it will be clear based on their character. Are they truly a follower of Christ? Are they truly a teacher and proclaimer of the truth of God's word? Or are they false? Their character will show the truth. And Paul talks about this. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is actually talking about ordaining individuals into the ministry, ordaining them as essentially declaring that, yes, they are called of God, they are equipped of God, they should be serving as pastors, they should be serving as deacons within God's church. So Paul says this in 1 Timothy 5. He says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, and so identify with the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. The sins of some people are obvious, going before them into judgment. But for others, they show up later. Similarly, good works are also obvious, and the ones that are not cannot remain hidden. What is Paul saying there? He's saying, be patient. The character of an individual will always be revealed. It may take some time, but the character of the individual will indeed always be revealed. Sometimes the character is at the forefront. You know immediately, okay, well, that person is definitely not called of the Lord because of unorthodox doctrine, or their house is not in order the way that it's supposed to be, or any of the other requirements that God puts into his word for somebody that is going to be called as a prophet or teacher of himself. But then other times, it may take a little while. It may take a little while for that character to kind of come raising to the surface, but understand, if you're looking for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, if you're looking for these things in the character of an individual, eventually you're going to find that you're not really seeing love, you're not really seeing joy, you're not really seeing peace, you're not really seeing long-suffering. Instead, what you're seeing are things like anger. You're seeing things like manipulation. You're seeing things like discord. The character of the teacher will always be revealed, either for good or for bad. And the character of an individual is always a valid representation or a valid argument, either for or against, whether somebody is truly called of the Lord. We must be looking at their character, and we must be patient in it. Just because you heard a message online from somebody and you thought, well, that was a really good message, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're called of the Lord. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're a fantastic pastor or a fantastic teacher. What it really means is maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Just be patient. look for their character to be revealed over time. So that's what first thing to look for when we're talking about false teachers, false prophets. What should we look for? How do we know if they're real? How do we know if they're false? Their character will indeed reveal their calling. Second thing, all right? Go back to verse 17. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Now, again, we're talking about character, but also when we're talking about false teachers, false prophets, what's one thing that we should probably pay pretty close attention to? What they're saying. What are they saying? What are they actually teaching? What are they actually proclaiming? Is it real? Is it true? Is it in accordance with the teachings of Scripture, or is it false? Does it contrast itself to what God's word actually says? What are they saying? How are they saying it? See, superficially, a false teacher can actually appear to be biblical and orthodox. Believe it or not, church, it's actually not that difficult to write a couple of sermons with no real doctrinal or theological value at all and it not actually be wrong. It's actually very easy to do. You could probably do it in about 10 minutes because it will be nothing but fluff. There won't be any actual biblical truth to be found in it, but it won't be wrong. And because it won't necessarily be wrong, it could, depending on your maturity level as a believer, be difficult to determine, is that good or is that bad? Is that fluff or is that God's word? Is that nonsense or is it relative? And see, typically, and this is where it gets even more difficult, because again, Jesus is saying, understand, they're deceptive. The whole purpose of what they're doing is to lead people astray, but they want to lead people astray, as many people as they possibly can, as discreetly as they can, because if they're found out, then their strength and their power gets broken, because then they're known for what they are. So they do it deceptively. They do it undercover. They try to infiltrate God's church. They try to infiltrate God's people as much as they possibly can. And typically, when we're talking about false teachers, especially the ones that Jesus is referencing in this passage, it's not really about looking at or listening for the things that they say. Because if they're trying to be deceptive, then they're probably not going to come out and necessarily be directly against something that God's word is for, or directly say something that is completely contrary to what God's word says. Instead, you should listen for the things that they don't say. Now, what is that supposed to mean, Pastor Brian? Here's what that means. False teachers, especially ones that are trying to be deceptive about who they really are, about what they're really trying to do, what they're really hoping to accomplish with what it is that they're doing, they're not really going to talk about certain things. They're not really going to talk about salvation. They're not going to talk about the fact that Jesus went to the cross, that he died in place of all of us for the sins of the entire world, that God's judgment was poured out upon Jesus, that his blood had to be spilled for the repayment and the redemption of sin. They're not going to talk about that sort of thing. They're not going to talk about the Trinity. They're not going to talk about anything orthodox. They're not going to talk about sin. They're not going to talk about the need for submission and humility. They're not going to talk about the need not just for a Savior, but for a Lord. They're not going to talk about these things. And the reason they're not going to talk about these things is because these things are negative. They're not what people want to hear. And a false teacher's goal is to bring as many people to themselves as possible, and they do that by telling people what they want to hear. So their teachings on salvation are always going to be watered down. They're always going to be half-truths at best. If someone tells you that the only thing that you need in order to be saved is you just have to profess Christ, it sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds right, doesn't it? It's wrong. Hopefully, as we've gone through this entire Sermon on the Mount, we understand that there is much more to being saved. There is much more to being a part of the kingdom of God than simply saying, yeah, I like Jesus. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe in God. There is much more to it than just that. Because essentially what that is saying is you can be saved, you can have a savior without actually having a Lord. You see, Jesus is not just savior, he is Lord. He doesn't save those who he is not Lord of. To try and reduce it to anything else is to offer what is known as cheap grace. That's exactly what Paul talks about in Romans when he's talking about, he says, should we sin so that grace may abound? And what does he say to that? He says, God forbid. Heaven perish the thought. Absolutely not. We should never sin so that grace may abound. But to water salvation down to nothing more than just making a proclamation for Jesus, that's exactly what is being done. Saying all you have to do is just say you want Jesus. All you have to do is just say you're sorry when you sin. You can do whatever you want. You can do anything that you want, whenever you want to do it, as long as you then just say you're sorry afterward. That's not what it means to be a follower of Christ. That's what it means to be walking down the broad path thinking that you're okay. And false teachers do this sort of thing all the time. They twist and they manipulate what God's word actually says in order to bring as many people to themselves as they possibly can. And at the end of the day, what they're really doing is they're undercutting the authority of Scripture. What false teachers really want to do, doesn't matter what kind that they are, whether they're a heretic, an apostate, a deceiver, what they really want to do is they want to undercut the authority of God's word. Because if you undercut the authority of God's word, then you can make and create whatever it is that you want. You can create your own standard for truth. You can create your own standard for morality. Which is why the world is so bent upon trying to get rid of God's word, of trying to undercut God's word. Because if you can get rid of God's word, if you undercut the authority of God's word, you can create and make anything that you want. You take away the authority of God's word, and suddenly abortions are perfectly okay. Divorces can happen for any reason that you could possibly want. A man can be a woman can be a man can be a printer. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are anymore. But when you take away the authority of God's word, that's what you're left with. You're left with a fallen world, fallen mankind, trying to determine and trying to create its own truth. And it doesn't. It's always going to fail. So we have to be listening, and we have to make sure that we're tuned in to what it is that is being taught. And even more specifically, we have to be tuned in to what it is that isn't being said. What are they leaving out? Because most often it will be what they're leaving out that will reveal who they actually are. And then finally, and we'll just briefly go over this, if you want to know who a false teacher is, then look at the people who are following them. Because most often, false teachers will attract those who are not actually followers of Christ. 2 Peter 2, in speaking about false teachers, says this: many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. You see, the people who follow false teachers they'll be person-focused, they'll be group-focused, they'll be focused on community, they'll be focused on works, they'll be focused on any number of different things. But what people who are following these false teachers, who are following these false prophets, will never actually be, they'll never actually be God-focused or Scripture-focused. Because if they were God-focused, if they were Scripture-focused, then they would have been able to recognize and to determine whether a teaching was valid or whether a teaching was false. And like I said, essentially what a false teacher does is they get as many people to follow them as possible by simply saying what people want to hear. And the vast majority of people, the vast majority of the world, they don't want to hear what they need to hear. What the world needs to hear is that they're fallen and they're broken and they're sinful. But God, in his infinite love and his infinite mercy and his grace, has provided a way for redemption through Jesus Christ and through the work of the cross. That's what the world needs to hear. That's not what the world wants to hear, because inherent in that truth, inherent in the gospel truth, is that in order to be saved, to know salvation, to know redemption by the work of Jesus Christ, in order to know that and to have that and to live in that, we're submitting ourselves fully to the authority of God. And that is what people don't want to hear. People are okay with hearing, I can go to heaven. People are okay with hearing, I can be forgiven. People are okay with hearing that stuff. And so false teachers will leave it at that. You can be forgiven and you can be loved and you can go to heaven. But then leave out the very important fact, the very important truth, that repentance is a part of it. Turning away completely from your sin in order to pursue righteousness. Submitting yourself, humbling yourself, all of who you are before the Lord, because he is master, he is Lord, he is Savior, he is Father, he is all of those things. We don't get to pick and choose the ones that we like or the ones that fit into our lifestyle. You either accept all of who he is or you accept none of who he is. We have a responsibility, church. And the responsibility is clear. Jesus says, beware. We have to beware. We have to be on guard. We have to be on guard against false prophets. We have to be able to recognize them. We have to be able to identify them. Because the work that they're doing is completely contrary to the work that all believers in Christ are called to do, which is to share the truth of the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. False prophets work directly against that. So we have to beware. We have to be on guard. We have to be able to identify it. And there's a couple of things that we need to understand when we're talking about this. Number one, in order to accurately and consistently be able to identify false teachers, false prophets, we have to know and study God's word. We don't need to know and study the false teachings. There's too many to count. There's too many to accurately understand. There's too many to accurately know inside and out. So we don't need to worry about that. The only thing that we need to worry about is knowing inside and out God's word. What does his word actually say? Because the false teacher, the false prophet, will very subtly, just as Satan did in the garden with Eve, will very subtly come in and say, did God really say this? Did God really mean that? Does God really want this? Do we know the answers? Do we know how to identify the false teachings? One of my absolute favorite groups of people in the scripture is found in the book of Acts, and it's the Bereans. I love the Bereans. Because here's why I love the Bereans. The Bereans are commended because when the gospel was presented to them, when Paul comes and preaches to them, he teaches them, and he's telling them the truth of Jesus. He's telling them the truth of the gospel, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He's teaching all of this to them. You know what their response was? Their response was, okay, all right, we hear you. Give us a few minutes. And they went and they compared everything that Paul said to what God's word said. I love that. Because at the end of the day, church, do you know who the real authority is? It's not me. And it's not Jonathan. The real authority is God and his word. Really, what every single one of us is supposed to be doing is, yes, we listen to teaching, and we listen to good teaching, we listen to biblical teaching, but we should always listen to that biblical teaching. We should always listen to it, take it in, and then compare it to what God's word actually says. Because, and I'll let you in on a little secret, sometimes even good teachers make mistakes. It happens. I've been called on it before. Didn't do it intentionally. It's a complete, total accident. I didn't even know that I had done it. But somebody pointed it out to me, and you know what? I actually appreciate that. Because I'm not infallible. I'm not inerrant. God's word is, but I'm not. And no person is. Not even Paul was. So in order to identify and know false teaching, false prophets, always come back to his word. Because this is the standard of truth. This is what everything gets checked against. Anything disagrees with or goes against anything in God's word, it is false, it should be thrown out. It all comes back to God's word. But then secondly, we must be in God's word. We must be studying God's word. We must be Bereans ourselves, constantly checking and rechecking anything that we hear, anything that's taught to us against the truth of God's word. But then also we have to exercise discernment. You can say, well, discernment against what? Discernment on what? Here's the thing. There's false teachers, and then there's just people that we disagree with. And they say, well, what is that supposed to mean? Perfect example, me and Pastor Jonathan. Me and Pastor Jonathan don't agree on everything. I know. Like, Pastor Jonathan, how could you not agree with Pastor Brian? He's amazing. I know. I get it. But, but we don't agree on everything. But here's the thing. I would never, ever call him a dear brother in Christ. I would never call him a false teacher or a false prophet. We have a couple of points in theology, a couple of points in doctrine that we disagree with, and we like to pick fun at one another for it. But that doesn't make him a false teacher. It doesn't make me a false teacher. When we're talking about false teaching, we're talking about false prophets. It's more than just, well, those people like to worship to hymns, and those people like to worship to contemporary music. They're both fine. There's nothing wrong with either one. That's not at all what Jesus is talking about. We have to use discernment in what it is that we're looking for and what it is that we're listening for. When we're talking about false teaching, false prophets, specifically, first and foremost, the gospel. Are they teaching the gospel accurately? Are they teaching the full and complete gospel? Or are they leaving out parts? Are they leaving out truths? in order to make their message seem more palatable to people. What is the gospel that they are sharing? What is the gospel that they are teaching? And then use discernment from there. Because first and foremost, honestly, when we talk about false teachers and false prophets, the only ones that Paul said let them be accursed were those who teach or propose a different gospel. So use your discernment, church. Understand the difference between having a disagreement about a certain practice or having a disagreement about a piece of doctrine or a piece of theology. The difference between that and teaching or proclaiming something that is completely contrary to the truth of God's word. Teaching or preaching a gospel that actually has no business being a part of God's word. So, my question for us today is, can you recognize it? Can you recognize the false teaching? And not only can you recognize it, can you call it out for what it is? Are you on guard against it? Because understand, Jesus is telling us to beware. He's telling us to be on guard. He's telling us that there is danger inherent in false teaching because it is eventually and it is essentially going to bring people away from the narrow path and place them somewhere in the broad spectrum of the broad path. False teachings, they're a dime a dozen. There are literally thousands, if not millions of them. But there's one truth. There is one truth. There is one way. And it is the way of Jesus. Because no one comes to the Father but by Him. Can you identify and recognize the false teaching? Are you on guard against it at all times? Are you on guard against it when you come here? Are you on guard against it when you listen to me preaching on Sunday morning? Are you on guard against it when you listen to sermons on the radio? Are you on guard against it when you listen to those podcasts of pastors that you like? Always be on guard. Because they're deceiving. There are plenty of pastors and plenty of teachers that I've known, Pastor Jonathan has known, that when we talk about this, people that 10, 15 years ago we would listen to and we respected them, loved hearing their preaching, loved hearing their teaching. But I would never recommend them to anybody now. Because they're not teaching truth anymore. They're teaching something else. It can happen. And it does happen. So we, as the church, as followers of Christ, as pursuers of the narrow path that leads to life, we have to be able to recognize and to call out that which is contrary to the truth of God's word. So can you do that? And are you doing that? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for another morning, another time of worship, time of fellowship, a time spent in your word, digging into and looking at the words of Jesus. And God, would you protect us? May we all beware. May we all be on guard. against the false teachings that are out there, able to understand them, able to recognize them, able to confront them when they need to be confronted. But God, may we do this by continuing to pursue you, to pursue your righteousness, to truly live in your heart, day in and day out. May that be our desire. May that be our purpose, so that the closer we come to you, the deeper we come to know you, the more ready we are to understand and recognize that which is not from you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.